Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really crucial topic. It sits right where national security technology and, well, your individual privacy all meet. We're talking about how intelligence services operate, specifically this thing called bulk interception, and maybe most importantly, who's keeping an eye on them? Who watches the watchers?
Yeah, and it's, you know, especially critical now with digital technology changing so incredibly fast.
Absolutely. So we're digging into this using a really insightful report. It's called Zugriff auf Beutelandsinlichtungen an Wehrheitsdiensten. My Dutch isn't perfect, but it translates to Oversight of Foreign Intelligence and Security Services.
That's the one. It's primarily authored by Dr. Jan Jop Orlemans, with assistance from Mr. Naomi Stahl, both from Leiden University.
And it was actually commissioned by the Dutch Ministries of Interior and Defense, its mission. Uh-huh. To compare the oversight systems in four countries, Denmark, Sweden, France, and the UK, focusing specifically on how they handle bulk interception.
And what's really interesting here is that this isn't just, you know, an academic paper collecting dust. It's specifically designed to feed into the revision of the Dutch Intelligence and Security Services Act, the one from 2017. So it provides a really structured look using publicly available information, which is notable in itself. It highlights how these different nations approach oversight, all within a pretty similar legal context, shaped mainly by European human rights law.
Okay, so that's our task for this deep dive. We want to walk you through the key legal ideas, the sort of different stages of oversight, and then really get into how Denmark, Sweden, France, and the UK actually do this in practice. You'll see some interesting similarities, but also some really notable differences. And hopefully you'll get a better handle on the core challenges in balancing, you know, security needs with our fundamental rights.
Sounds good. Where should we start?
Well, before we dive into the countries themselves, we need to get the basics down. The report starts by outlining the normative framework. That's the foundation, drawing heavily from the European Court of Human Rights, the EHRM, and also this updated treaty, Convention 108 plus Stay.
Right, and that immediately brings up a key point. Why is bulk interception such a big deal legally? It's because it's seen as a really serious interference with fundamental rights, especially the right to privacy, under Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights.
Article 8, okay.
Yeah. And the court, the EHRM, has repeatedly warned governments, you know, you can't just give yourselves unlimited power to monitor communications. Even if it's for national security, you risk undermining democracy itself.
So there are limits. The EHRM uses a kind of test, doesn't it? A three-step thing.
Exactly. Any interference with privacy has to, one, have a clear legal basis. Two, it must pursue a legitimate aim, like national security. And three, critically, it has to be necessary in a democratic society.
And the report really digs into those qualitative requirements for the national laws, especially the oversight part.
It does. And if you look at the bigger picture from the EHRM, they've developed this idea of end-to-end safeguards for bulk interception regimes.
End-to-end safeguards.
Yeah, think of it as needing strong protections at every step. You need robust authorization before it happens, continuous oversight while it's happening, and effective ways for people to seek remedies afterwards if something goes wrong. Those are the cornerstones for a system to be considered compatible with human rights.
Makes sense. The report highlights three specific EHRM rulings that seem really influential here.
Yes, they're quite key. First, there's Big Brother Watch and Others versus the UK from 2021. This followed the Snowden revelations back in 2013.
Ah, right, GCHQ.
Exactly. It looked at GCHQ's bulk collection of communications data. Now, the court actually acknowledged that bulk interception can be vitally important, you know, for spotting threats, for cybersecurity, but they found the UK's system at the time lacked proper prior authorization. It wasn't sufficiently independent. This ruling really hammered home the need for independent sign-off doesn't have to be a judge necessarily, but must be independent from the executive, plus good record-keeping and independent oversight covering every single stage.
Okay, so independence is key. What was the second case?
Also in 2021, Centrum for Rättvisa versus Sweden. This involved Sweden's Signals Intelligence Agency, FRA. Here, the court made a distinction, saying SIGIN for defense intelligence is different from, say, wiretapping for a criminal case. Sweden's system actually got some praise for having clear rules and prior oversight by their defense intelligence court, which even has this interesting privacy functionary role.
Sounds pretty good. So what was the problem?
The issues were more specific. Shortcomings in how they destroyed old data, how they balanced privacy when sharing data internationally with partners, and crucially, a lack of an effective remedy after someone complained. Their oversight body, CIAN, had sort of conflicting roles.
Okay, so Even a generally good system can have specific flaws. In the third case,
that's the most recent one covered, from 2024, Association Contrefraternelle de la Presse Judiciaire and others versus France. And this one is interesting because it actually upheld France's oversight system.
So France got it right, according to the court?
Largely, yes.
Yeah.
The EHRM praised their specialized oversight body, the CNCTR, for being independent. And it really highlighted the role of the Conseil d'État, their top administrative court, as providing a strong, effective remedy for people.
Even though France has that policy where they don't confirm or deny if someone was monitored.
Exactly. The court found that acceptable because the other safeguards, particularly the judicial review by the Conseil d'État, were so robust. It really confirms independent judicial review is a powerful check.
Got it. And you mentioned Convention 108 plus earlier.
Yes, that's the other key piece of the framework. It's an updated international data protection treaty. And the really big change is that it now explicitly applies to national security and defense.
Which were previously excluded.
Broadly, yes. Now, it requires countries to have independent oversight authorities with real teeth investigation and enforcement powers. They have to be consulted on new laws, and they need to handle citizen complaints.
And presumably, they need resources to do all that effectively.
Absolutely. The convention stresses adequate financial, technical, and human resources, and crucially, the ability to act without external interference, true independence.
Okay, so that's the bedrock, the legal standards and principles. Now, the report talks about oversight happening in different phases. It's not just a one-off check.
Exactly. Effective oversight needs to happen throughout the whole life cycle of bulk interception. We can break it down into three main stages.
Go ahead.
First, ex ante oversight. That's prior oversight. Before they even start collecting data in bulk, there needs to be a legality review by a judicial body or some other independent authority.
And their decision has to stick.
Yes, it must be binding. The trend seems to be allowing independent bodies, not strictly judges, to do this authorization, but the binding nature is crucial.
Okay, that's before. What about during?
That's ex durante continuous oversight. This is about monitoring the actual data processing as it's happening. You know, the collection, filtering, storage, sharing, analysis, everything. It's meant to be real-time or near real-time checks to catch problems quickly. The report mentions France's CNCTR does daily online controls, for example.
Daily. Wow. Okay. So before, during, what's last?
Ex post after the fact oversight. This is looking back at what happened. It might be a general review of how things are working or maybe investigating a specific incident. And critically, this includes handling individual complaints. This is essential for providing that effective remedy the EHRM talks about. People need a way to challenge surveillance they think was unlawful.
And the body handling these complaints needs to be
independent, again, able to fully investigate, access information, and issue binding decisions like ordering data to be destroyed or even awarding compensation.
Right. Ex ante, ex durante, ex post. Before, during, and after.
Got it. So with that framework in mind, let's finally get into the country comparisons. How do these principles actually look on the ground? Let's start with Denmark. Okay, Denmark. Their main intelligence players are PET, the Police Intelligence Service, handling domestic stuff, and FE, the Military Intelligence Service. FE is focused on foreign intelligence, does signals intelligence, SIGINT, and also hosts their National Cybersecurity Center, CSCS.
And the report's assessment of Denmark's current system, it wasn't exactly glowing, right? As of May 2025, anyway.
No, it points to significant shortcomings. The main law from 2013 apparently doesn't have very detailed rules for bulk interception. And the oversight body, TET, its remit is mostly limited to data processing concerning people inside Denmark.
Which seems like a big gap for foreign intelligence.
It does. And crucially, TET currently doesn't get access to the raw SIGINT data that FE collects. Plus, the government minister has the final say on legal interpretations, which definitely raises questions about TET's independence.
That sounds like it could create tension.
It has. The report mentions a pretty high-profile case where ACI accused FE of withholding information back in 2020. It led to a criminal case against FE's director, though that was eventually dropped earlier this year, in 2024, but it shows the friction.
Wow. But things might be changing. There's a new law proposed.
Yes, that's the really interesting part for Denmark. They're in the middle of a potentially major overhaul. There's a bill called Strengthening of the Oversight of the Danish Intelligence Service for Defense.
And what would that do?
It proposes some significant shifts. A new independent intelligence council would be set up specifically for ex-ante-authorization, the before check for FE's bulk collection, with approvals lasting up to 12 months.
Okay, independent prior authorization, that addresses one EHRM point. What about T8?
T8's role would expand significantly. It would get oversight of the legality of FE's operational activities, explicitly including bulk interception. So that allows for more ex-ante or continuous oversight.
And the after part, the complaints.
For ex-post control and remedies, the proposal creates a new independent College of Oversight on rights of access. This would sit within TAT, but operate independently, and could issue binding decisions if it finds unlawful data processing concerning individuals in Denmark. That seems like a very direct response to the Centrum for Rett Visa ruling against Sweden, addressing the need for an effective remedy.
Seems like big steps. Any potential catches?
Well, one detail the report notes is that the proposal suggests this new intelligence council would rely on the Ministry of Defense for practical assistance, which, you know, might raise some eyebrows about how fully independent it will be in practice. Something to watch.
Definitely. Okay, let's move north to Sweden.
All right, Sweden. Their services include SIPO, handling domestic security and police intelligence, MUST, which is military intelligence, and FRA, the Big Signals Intelligence Agency. They also collaborate, along with other agencies, in a national cybersecurity center. But interestingly, the report mentions this center doesn't seem to have its own specific legal basis for its operations.
That's curious. Now, Sweden's bulk interception by FRA, that's been regulated for a while, hasn't it, since 2009?
That's right. Before 2009, it was apparently a bit of a wild west. The thinking was the ether is free, so no specific rules were needed for intelligence gathering there. 2009 marked a big change.
So how does their oversight work now, the ex-ante part?
The prior authorization comes from the Defense Intelligence Court. It's a specialized court that reviews FRA's requests, looking at the purpose, the communication lines targeted, the search terms they plan to use, and they have that privacy functionary involved in the court's process, representing privacy interests, which is quite unique.
Is there any appeal if FRA doesn't like the court's decision? Or if someone else objects?
Apparently not. The report states there's no avenue for appeal against the Defense Intelligence Court's decisions.
Okay, what about oversight after the fact, the ex post stage?
That's handled by SEIN, the State Inspection Service for Defense Intelligence Activities. It's a specialized body that monitors what FRA does. And crucially, SEIN can order FRA to destroy data if it finds the collection went beyond what was authorized.
Now, SEIN was the body mentioned in the EHRM case, right?
Yeah.
With the dual role issue.
Exactly. The Centrum for Rett Visa ruling flagged that SEIN handled both general oversight and individual complaints, raising concerns about its objectivity when judging complaints about activities it might have already overseen.
So did Sweden respond to that?
They did. As of January 2025, they've set up a new separate complaint handling chamber within SEIN. This chamber is designed to be more independent and can issue binding decisions for individuals. It's a direct fix for the effective remedy issue the EHRM identified.
Okay, so they're adapting. Any other changes on the horizon in Sweden?
Potentially, yes. Their main data protection authority, IMY, currently has pretty limited oversight powers regarding FRA. But there's a new legislative proposal out for consultation now until August 2025, aiming for implementation in 2027. This proposal sounds quite significant. It suggests expanding FRA's bulk interception powers, particularly during wartime or threats, and also broadening CO data processing abilities.
Expanding powers? But what about oversight?
Well, the proposal also aims to strengthen oversight. It suggests giving the Defense Intelligence Court an appellate role and strengthening SEIN's powers, giving it more binding authority regarding data correction and destruction. So potentially more power, but also potentially stronger checks. It's a balancing act.
Fascinating. Okay, let's head south to France. You mentioned their system was upheld recently.
Yes, largely. France has a, let's say, complex intelligence community, nearly 20 agencies. But there's a core group of six first circle services, like DGSE for external security and DGSI for internal, that are authorized for bulk interception. Their National Cybersecurity Center, ANSSI, is also interesting. It's not formally an intelligence service, but its powers, especially for detecting cyber attacks through telecom providers, have grown quite a bit.
And France had issues with the EHRM in the past, didn't they? Before the recent ruling.
They did. But following earlier condemnations, they brought in a comprehensive legal framework back in 2015. This set out detailed rules for intelligence techniques, including bulk interception, which they specifically target at international electronic communications for things like national defense or counterterrorism.
And they have a centralized body for the technical side.
Yes, the GIC Groupement Interministerial de Control. It centralizes the requests and manages the technical infrastructure, which helps ensure a more controlled process overall.
So how does the French ex-ante authorization work, the before check?
It's a two-step process involving the Prime Minister. First, the PM has to authorize the interception itself. Second, the PM authorizes the exploitation of the collected data. Both steps require prior consultation with the CNCTR, which is their specialized independent oversight body.
And the CNCTR has to act fast.
Very fast. They have just 24 hours to provide their advice, assessing if the request is necessary and proportionate.
Wow, 24 hours. What happens if the CNCTR says no, but the Prime Minister wants to go ahead anyway?
Ah, this is where the French system has a really strong safeguard. If the Prime Minister ignores a negative opinion from the CNCTR, the CNCTR is legally required to immediately refer the case to the Conseil d'État, France's highest administrative court.
The court gets involved immediately.
Yes, and the Conseil d'État then has to rule on the legality of the proposed interception within another 24 hours. It's a very powerful judicial double lock, as the report calls it.
That does sound robust.
Mm-hmm.
What about ongoing and after-the-fact oversight?
The CNCTR handles that too, the ex durante and ex post phases. They do those daily online checks we mentioned, manage how long data is kept, and handle individual complaints. If they find unlawful surveillance, they can order it stopped and the data destroyed. However, they stick to the neither confirm nor deny policy when responding to individuals.
Which the EHRM found acceptable.
Yes. In that 2024 ruling association Contre Fraternel de la Presse Judiciaire, the court explicitly confirmed the overall effectiveness of the French system, praising the CNCTR's independence and calling the remedy provided via the Conseil d'État robust.
Okay. Any gaps noted in the French system?
One interesting point the report raises is that the CNCTR's current oversight mandate doesn't cover the exchange of intelligence data with foreign partners. Mm. The CNCTR itself apparently thinks this area needs more scrutiny because of the privacy risks involved, so that's a potential blind spot.
Hmm. International cooperation is always tricky. All right, last stop, the United Kingdom.
The UK, a very advanced intelligence setup there. You have MI5 for domestic security, SIS, better known as MI6 for foreign intelligence, and GCHQ, the Big Signals Intelligence Agency. GCHQ also hosts the National Cybersecurity Center, NCSC.
And the UK's framework changed quite a bit after Snowden, that Big Brother watch case, right?
Absolutely. The 2013 Snowden revelations and the 2021 Big Brother watch judgment from the EHRM, which specifically criticized the lack of independent sign-off for selecting data for examination, were major catalysts for change. The result was the Investigatory Powers Act of 2016, often called the IPA. It aimed to clarify and consolidate powers, and importantly, it introduced a clear legal distinction between targeted surveillance and bulk interception powers.
And how does their ex-ante authorization work now? Is it independent?
Yes. They implemented what's called a double lock system.
Yeah.
A government minister, usually the Secretary of State, makes the request for a bulk interception warrant. But, and this is the crucial part, that warrant must be approved by an independent judicial commissioner before it can be issued and acted upon.
A judge has to approve it.
Yes, these judicial commissioners are senior judges, and they're part of the Investigatory Powers Commissioner's Office, or IPCO. Their decision is binding, they have to provide reasons, and they assess necessity and proportionality, just like the minister, but independently.
Tell me more about IPCO. It sounds like a central body.
It is, and quite unique in its structure, established in 2017. IPCO basically brought several different oversight functions together under one roof. You have the judicial commissioners handling the ex-ante authorization, the double lock. But IPCO also employs inspectors who carry out the continuous ex-durante and retrospective ex-post oversight of how the intelligence agencies use these powers. They even have a technology advisory panel, the TAP, providing independent technical advice.
So authorization and inspection are within the same organization.
Yes. IPCO describes it as a symbiotic relationship, arguing that having both functions together enhances the overall quality and effectiveness of the oversight.
Interesting model. What about remedies for individuals? Complaints?
For that, the UK has a separate body, the Investigatory Powers Tribunal, or IPT. It's an independent court, distinct from IPCO. The IPT has sole jurisdiction across the whole UK for hearing complaints against the intelligence services regarding surveillance powers. It can access secret information, it can award compensation, and it can order data to be destroyed.
And the EHRM like the IPT?
Yes. In the Big Brother watch case, the European Court recognized the IPT as providing a robust remedy for individuals.
Okay, so we've toured the four countries. Denmark is reforming. Sweden has adapted after court rulings. France has a robust court-involved system. And the UK has this double lock and unified oversight body, plus a separate tribunal. What's the big takeaway when you compare them all?
Well, it's clear that all four nations are actively trying to meet these standards of independence and effectiveness demanded by the European Court and Convention 108 plus 2. You see common themes: independent prior authorization, mechanisms for ongoing checks, and dedicated bodies for complaints and remedies. But, as we've seen, the way they structure it varies quite a lot. You have specialized administrative bodies like France's CNCTR, specialized courts like Sweden's Defense Intelligence Court, the unified model of the UK's IPCO, and Denmark's proposed mix.
So no single perfect model has emerged?
Not necessarily. Each approach has its potential strengths and maybe weaknesses. What this report really does well, I think, is lay out these different approaches based on the available public information, and it implicitly raises further questions, you know. For instance, how effective is the oversight of these increasingly important national cybersecurity centers? Their roles and powers seem to be growing, but is the oversight keeping pace? The report touches on it, like in Sweden and France, but perhaps more focus is needed.
That's a great point. The cybersecurity angle is huge.
And the other big area, which came up regarding France but applies everywhere, is international intelligence cooperation. How transparent is it? Who oversees the sharing of bulk data between countries? The report notes this is often excluded from oversight mandates.
Right. That definitely feels like an area needing more scrutiny, as the French Commission itself suggested. These seem like really important areas for maybe future research or debate based on this report's findings.
I agree. The report provides a solid comparative baseline using that public info, but it definitely invites researchers and policymakers to dig deeper into those specific, perhaps less transparent areas.
Well, this has certainly been a deep dive into some very complex but absolutely vital systems. Understanding how these oversight mechanisms work, or sometimes struggle, really helps you appreciate that constant balancing act between security and liberty in democratic societies, especially in our digital world. We really hope this exploration has given you a clearer picture and maybe sparked some curiosity about how these powerful capabilities are or should be kept in check. Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive.